You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're reflecting on the late civil rights icon, Congressman John Lewis. On Bloody Sunday in Selma, Alabama, he and other marchers were brutally beaten in 1965. The Selma to Montgomery March, that was a turning point for a national voting rights act. Politico is reporting House Democrats are discussing plans for a voting rights package, which would renew and expand the Voting Rights Act of 1965 as a tribute to him. How do you want the 17-term congressman to be remembered? How should activists continue his voting rights work? We're at 800-642-1234. Gwen Moore is a Democratic representative from Wisconsin's 4th District. Congressman Moore, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Oh, so glad to be with you, Kate.
Well, my sympathies to you on the loss of your colleague and friend. You've been remembering Congressman Lewis this week as the peaceful protester, the nonviolent protester, as you said, putting his body into it, arrested many times. You recall being arrested with him years ago. Can you share some memories of activism?
Absolutely. I was an activist as a young person and got into trouble with my mom, actually, for participating in the Father Grappi and Vail Phillips marches back in the 60s. But meeting John Lewis reinvigorated those notions. And as you mentioned, you know, I went to jail with him one day. Pretty bad experience. He did it 40, 50 times. Boy, that was some rough rough duty. You know, they didn't hand us any Clorox cleanup. I sat on the floor with him as we took over the House floor in 2016 to protest the lack of gun violence. And I have a real funny memory of that. I had really bad knees and I sat on the floor and then couldn't get up.
Oh, dear.
And Tammy Duckworth, Senator Tammy Duckworth
of Illinois.
A Representative Duckworth was there, the double amputee. And I got up off the floor. She said, come over. And she came over and had me climb on her back to hoist myself up. But that's an aside. He was a gentle giant. He was the embodiment of humility and ethics and really, you know, standing up for what you believe. And you could talk to any Republican and they would tell you the same thing. And I guess that's where the rubber meets the road, because you could find a lot of friendly Republicans who would say laudable things about John Lewis. But what we really need to do to honor him is to pass the Voting Rights Act, and we name it the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. You know, your listeners may remember the Shelby County versus Holder decision, where basically the court gutted the Voting Rights Act, and immediately after doing that, I mean, you had Alabama. Within hours of the Shelby County decision, Texas put a voting ID law in, and within days, Alabama announced it would enforce a photo ID law. Only months later, North Carolina passed what was known as the Monster Law, a sweeping voter suppression bill requiring strict forms of voter ID. And of course, by 2016, Wisconsin joined a number of states in enacting new restrictions on voting and cutting early voting and who can collect absentee ballots. And as you know, I mean, you may not know, but I fought former Representative Scott Walker and ultimately Governor Scott Walker from 1992 until 2016 on voter ID. And finally, a voter ID was established in 2016. And of course, the rest is history in terms of the numbers the tens of thousands of people who were disenfranchised because of voter ID in 2016. And Wisconsin went for Donald Trump.
We're talking with Gwen Moore, Democratic representative from Wisconsin's 4th District, which includes parts of the Milwaukee region. How do you think Congressman John Lewis will be remembered? What do you think his greatest contributions were? How should activists continue John Lewis's work? We're at 800-642-1234. Congresswoman, the Democrats are considering this new voting rights legislation, which some are calling it to be named after Lewis, you included. What would this package look like, and what is the timeline here?
Well, H.R. 4 is not new. Basically, it would restore some of the pre-clearance requirements. What Shelby County versus Holder did was jurisdictions that had demonstrated in the past a willingness to disenfranchise people, when they gutted it, it really, again, the list that I just shared with the listeners is the kind of stuff that they did. And it restores the full protections of the Voting Rights Act. It updates the pre-clearance formula used to determine which states and political subdivisions must pre-clear their voting and registration procedures before they can take effect. You know, you can't just put a voter ID law in without pre-clearing it and demonstrating how it won't disenfranchise people. It increases the transparency by requiring the reasonable public notice for voting changes. We, you know, just note what happened on the Native American lands when, you know, last cycle, when suddenly Native Americans were required to have an address with streets on it, although they had voted up to that point without that requirement, but at the last minute, creating some just insurmountable obstacles to voting.
Well, let's let's take a call now. Linda is with us from Monroe. Linda, hi.
Hi. Good morning. I favor early voting or absentee voting, and I wonder what the representative feels on that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I believe that people have different needs, and voting ought to be accessible to people any way that they can vote. People can vote safely from their home with an absentee ballot. No excuse needed. You don't have to say that, you know, I'm sick or I'm going to be out of town or whatever. Just you might choose to vote safely from your home. Or there are people who like to have in-person voting. I'm one of the people that I really like to vote on Election Day. And that option ought to be available to people, too. Some of the things that we've seen done with regard to since Shelby County versus Holder is that one of the things that's happened is that they have restricted voting rights. I remember efforts all around the country, for example, to stop the quote unquote souls to the polls initiatives, where churches would take busloads of people to the courthouse after church services on Sunday. And, you know, to stop that kind of activity was nothing but voter suppression.
You have a line to Representative Gwen Moore as we talk about the legacy of her colleague, Congressman John Lewis. The future of voting rights in America, other issues front and center amid the pandemic. What questions do you have for Congresswoman Moore about what lawmakers are doing to fight the pandemic and address the economic fallout? What do you want her to prioritize on Capitol Hill? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with Congresswoman Gwen Moore here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have U.S. Representative Gwen Moore on the line as we reflect on the legacy of Congressman John Lewis and voting rights issues faced in America today, with your thoughts as well. Let's bring in another call now, and it is former Senator Bob Welch on the line. Hi.
Hey, Bob Welch.
No, good morning. This is State Senator Bob Wirch.
Oh,
from Kenosha.
I'm so sorry.
Hey.
Yeah, Gwen is my former colleague when she was in the state Senate.
Absolutely.
And, yes, and we were both at Local 72 in 2013 when they were honoring John Lewis on the Martin Luther King celebration. And I'll never forget John Lewis was talking about when he was young and poor and practicing preaching, and he would preach to the chickens. He would preach to the chickens out in the farmyard. And he got the whole place laughing about that. But I would like to see the Edmund Prentice Bridge renamed the John Lewis Bridge and have people continue to go there every year to remember what happened at that site.
Mm. Thank you so much for calling in. Congresswoman Moore, there has been a lot of push to rename that bridge.
Senator Wirch, it's so good to hear your voice. It really is. You know, I think it would be a fantastic tribute to rename the bridge. There have been efforts even before John Lewis's death to have that happen. But I just want to keep the eye on the prize, to borrow that term from John Lewis. The prize really is passing the Voting Rights Act. And by the way, you know, not only does the bill sort of restore the protections under the Voting Rights Act that were taken with the court, with the Shelby, but it also provides money for elections and to secure and to buoy the efforts of these local officials who would actually administer the elections to make sure that that mail-in ballots, that option really is available. It's comprehensive. And that's the real way to honor John Lewis. And of course, the Edmund Pettus Bridge. Edmund Pettus was a Confederate general, a member of the KKK. And so very clearly, the bridge is a monument to the wrong sort of value that we have as a multicultural country.
Well, let's take another call now. Tom is here from Madison. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. I greatly admire the work done by Congressman John Lewis through the course of his career, and also of yourself in your role in Congress. And I support these changes, amendments, or a new Voting Rights Act. But we also need other fundamental electoral reforms. We do need term limits. Nobody should count on 17 terms or 15 terms or 12 terms in Congress. We need more political parties. We need the choice on the ballot. None of the above. You know, we talk about diversity, but you have the same people going back into Congress and the Senate time and time and time again. We have 340 million people in this country, and it's time to give them a voice. We need to be able to vote by internet. We need to be.
And Tom, I want to just allow Representative Moore to respond there on term limits.
Okay, well, thank you. You know, that's a you know, the real deal is that we do have term limits. I only get elected every 2 years, and if people don't like me or John Lewis, they have the opportunity to throw people out, and it happens every once in a while. I can think of a couple of people I would love to throw out. I would love to unelect. But, you know, that's incumbent upon democracy and people voting, and not something artificial like term limits. Because I'll tell you what term limits do. What they do, and this has been litigated for Congress, it empowers lobbyists. You know, so that if I have a special interest, be it, you know, health care or, you know, fossil fuels, where I want to, you know, I don't want a clean economy. All I got to do is sit out that legislator who comes in there, fire in their belly, wanting a green economy, and, you know, you've limited them to three terms. You know, all I got to do is wait them out. It empowers the bureaucracy, you know, unless you want to change that too. You know, someone in the bureaucracy has the opposite view. They're an environmentalist, and you're this, you know, you're a Republican who wants to make sure that the fossil fuel industry gets represented and there are numbers of jobs connected to it, and you come in there with fire in your belly, but you're limited for three terms, and that bureaucrat who's there and they are, you know, kissing and hugging the Wisconsin Conservation Corps just wastes you out. That's the problem with term limits.
Okay.
We need to revive the vote and make sure people are informed about candidates. And we need to reform the way we fund campaigns. I think that's the issue as well.
Congresswoman, I want to make sure we spend a few minutes on the new coronavirus relief package that is being negotiated, debated on Capitol Hill. How do you see this working out and coming together on the second round of relief aid?
Thank you, Kay, for asking that. You know, Mitch McConnell has had the HEROES package sitting there collecting dust or dirt in his graveyard since May. The theory being that Republicans were just going to make the economy magically open back up and didn't want to disincentivize people of going back to work or to school by giving them more money. But the reality is upon us. You know, all of these efforts to prevent people from being evicted from how all of these protections are ending July 1st. Unemployment insurance, we still have 11-12% unemployment. So they're having their epiphany that they've got to do something. Lest the misery index be increased. But what they really don't want, they want to pick apart the HEROES Act and provide more PPP for businesses and maybe some relief for individuals. But what they really want to avoid is to providing that money that's in that bill for election protection. And I mentioned it earlier, what's in the HEROES Act. And also,
and Democrats are proposing $3.6 billion for election security. How would that be used?
Well, whether or not it can be delivered in a timely manner. You know, you take jurisdictions like Milwaukee, for example. Remember, during the pandemic, we had 180 sites that were reduced to 5 sites in the pandemic. We didn't have enough poll workers
in the April election.
In the April election, I mean, we need to make sure that we have money to either stand up people who can be there with the appropriate PPP, or we need to make sure that we can do what we're planning on doing, to send out absentee ballots to everybody, make sure the post office, and there's also money in the package for that, to make sure the post office has the capacity to deliver this mail.
Democrats' plan includes $25 billion to help the Postal Service.
Exactly. Thank you, Kate. You are a great partner here in this conversation.
Well, I want to quickly ask you about the $600 a week unemployment benefits that go away at the end of the month. Would you like to see these extended? And if so, for how long?
Of course, Kate. And I mean, we've got just here in the state of Wisconsin, we've got about 141,000 people in Wisconsin who already haven't received any unemployment benefits at all. And, you know, and so it's not even that they're losing benefits that they've had. They never even got it. And so we are very, very far behind in lifting people up. We're going to see many more evictions. Like I said, the misery index is great. And these Republicans are going to pay a price, I think, nationwide for miscalculating how you should treat people in a pandemic of this sort.
Are there any items in the Democrats' proposal that you would be okay dropping in the event of a compromise?
Well, I think adding more money to the PPP, of course, that would not be seen as a compromise on the part of the Republicans. I think they want to drop the post office. They want to drop election dollars. And I just think that that just is not something that we are willing to negotiate. I think that that's the target of their efforts. And I think that they need to come and make sure we have safe, fair elections.
Congresswoman Moore, thank you for joining us.
Always, always a pleasure. Always.
Gwen Moore is a Democratic representative from Wisconsin's 4th District. She served in Congress with civil rights leader John Lewis, who died last week at age 80. Coming up, we talk with the Secretary of Wisconsin's DNR about how many residents are rediscovering the outdoors during the pandemic. It's after a news update here on the Ideas Network.